going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Which team is...
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's the most to gain in this draft. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Good morning. Drafts tonight, first round. And you know, listen, are there superstars in this draft, future Hall of Famers? I don't know if anyone's saying that, Perloff, but there's still an opportunity for teams to get much, much better. This is how you build your team, is through the draft.
Right.
Who do you think has the most to gain over the next 3 days?
The big jump, yeah, I'm going to go super obvious. It's number two, Cleveland Browns, getting Travis Hunter in the building. There is no other team that's getting a defensive and an offensive player in the same pick, Maggie. He's going to transform everything instantly, at least make them interesting. So I love what they're doing with maybe not biting on a quarterback at two, putting Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett as hopefully Joe Flacco. I think Hunter immediately ups everything. And the funny thing about the Browns is they're like season on with Kevin Stefanski, season off, season on, season off. Mm. So I think that there's a good chance that they're not a Super Bowl contender by any means, but they get back to the winning side of the ledger. And I think Travis Hunter will be the main reason.
Interesting. So you think everyone's saving their job? Like, this is the...
Yeah,
what are they doing at quarterback, though?
Well, I think that you go Flacco, because he had so much success there 2 years ago.
Right.
And saving their job...
But then what do you do next year?
Well, that's the thing.
That's next year's problem.
Cleveland's very smart. Do not bite on this year's weaker quarterback class. Save it. You know what? I think that they are looking big picture here. This was not the year for... or they get a second-round quarterback, too, which they might do. But you don't have to keep that second-round quarterback. I think they're keeping their options open.
Yeah.
That's what I think Cleveland is doing that's smart. I'd rather do Joe Flacco than overreach and take a quarterback I don't love it too.
Okay. I mean, Cleveland Browns, I feel like we've been here before with the Browns, talking about how here they are, top of the draft, near the top of the draft, and this draft's going to change everything.
Wait,
and yet here come the Cleveland Browns back at the top of the draft.
I don't think the Browns are like that. That's the Giants. The Browns have not... They haven't had that many top 10 picks. They had Myles Garrett, no-brainer. He did change everything. They had Baker Mayfield. But you said not only would Kevin Stefanski keep his job, he'll probably win Coach of the Year for the third time.
I don't know about that.
And then, he might. The guy is an offensive guru. So I just think that they become more respectable this year. And I think they're kind of must-watch with Travis Hunter, assuming Travis Hunter does go there.
I mean, I think must watch and actually changing your franchise are very, very different, because I've been intrigued by the Browns in the past. You know, Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr. Like, there have been times when I've been like, I wonder, like, where I almost can't wait to watch it. Maybe a little like a car wreck or something like that. But I just feel like I've seen the same old song and dance. Like, how many times have the Cleveland Browns had an opportunity to really change their fortunes in the draft? And meanwhile, they have one playoff win since they've been back to Cleveland, right? It's just, it never works for them, which makes me think that there's so much more else at play. It's a little like EJ. Wow, I almost called you Eli, like Elijah. We're going all formal today. But it's almost like EJ's Jets. Like, you're at the top of the draft a lot. You've even actually drafted some guys that are not bad. It's just not consistent enough. You're not getting to second contracts with these draft picks enough, and it's never been enough to actually, for the Jets, for example, break this playoff drought that's now, 14 years or what have you? So I don't know if I believe in the Browns.
Like, I mean, the Browns, their problems have not, to me, not been the draft. There's been it's been the Deshaun Watson trade. That's what killed them. Yeah, they've actually been a really good draft. I don't think they have... Because of Deshaun, they probably haven't had any first-round picks. They're a pretty good drafting team. It's the OBJ move was not good. They couldn't seem to get along with Baker Mayfield. And the Deshaun Watson trade killed them. Just destroyed the franchise. So,
but they were bad long before Watson got there. That's like another log on the fire. A big one. But still.
Yeah, they've done okay. To me, drafting is not the problem. It's when they think they're close and they add a piece, that's not worked out well.
To me, can I give you two candidates? I think there's a very obvious one, but it's almost so obvious that it feels like a cop-out, so I don't want this to be like my official answer. But the obvious answer is the Titans. Like, what changes a franchise more than anybody is obviously a quarterback. And if you think he's a franchise-changing QB, all of a sudden the Titans are now interesting, different, factor in the AFC South. Like, I don't want that to be my official answer, but that is the most obvious low-hanging fruit.
I don't think anyone thinks that.
Well, that might be because you don't think Cam Ward is a franchise
quarterback. I think Cam Ward's good. I just think the Titans are so sticky as an average team that even Cam Ward, if he's good, is going to make them a 1 p.m. Eastern team. I just think that the AFC South and the Titans, I don't think they have the team around them to make them to take that leap. So I don't think anyone is interested in seeing Cam Ward. I think that's a longer-term project. I'd be shocked if he immediately turned them around Jaden Daniels style, because they haven't done the other moves that you need to do to support a young quarterback. So to me, that's not as exciting.
Yeah, but I feel like you could have said that same thing for the Bills for 20 years. You know, could never get it right with quarterback. The Kansas City Chiefs really up and down with quarterbacks. They're, you know, there have been franchises that have wandered this quarterback desert. The Pittsburgh Steelers are doing it right now, a little bit better than the other teams I mentioned, but until you get that guy, he changes everything.
But it took a couple years with Josh Allen, so it might take some time. Can't you see the Titans being boring this year?
Did they just sign Tyler Lockett last night?
I mean, come on.
No, I understand. Yeah. But can I see them being boring? Like, yeah, sure. But
I mean, one of the top three most boring teams in the league.
Well, I could also see this year being like a feel it out, figure it out year. And then are they a playoff team in 2 years?
Like, yeah, maybe. I mean, I like Cam Ward a lot and he's super exciting. It's just you're buried. And also, do I trust that coach?
We don't know enough. But yeah, Cam also has a good personality. He's got the thing he does, like the celebration that he does, whatever that thing is. He clearly has a good story. And the other thing about Cam that I think people forget, I know you said before, like, he's kind of mild-mannered and we don't really hear from him. There's a video out there where he's talking to Shador Sanders.
Yeah, like, no, that was a big deal.
Multiple videos.
Yeah, he's like, I don't care about you, or whatever he said. He kind of, I don't want to make it out to be more than it is, but he was like, basically, like, who are you? I'm better than you.
They have a friendly rivalry.
Yeah.
It's like it wasn't friendly at the time.
It felt a little awkward in some of those videos.
Goku Vegeta vibe.
The what?
Yeah.
They had a little Goku Vegeta vibe.
But I don't think there's a reason.
Frenemies.
Though, in the history of the NFL, 100, there's never been a number one overall pick who's talked about less than Cam Ward to the Titans. And I think it's really the Titans more than him. Like, he just does not come up. There's no, I watch ESPN commercials. I don't even think they show him. They show Ashton Jeanty and Travis Hunter. I just don't think anyone cares because the Titans have never, they just haven't been relative in so long. You're right. Logically, this makes sense. And I think he's going to be good, but it's a long way to unbury that team.
So, like, if you actually get a guy who's a franchise quarterback, that changes your fortunes more than anyone. But I want my real answer. That's my low-hanging fruit answer. I want my real answer to be which team has the most to gain in this draft? I think it's the Bears. Because, first of all, let's not forget, you love Ben Johnson.
You put
him in Canton already as a head coach.
Yes.
He's paired up with Caleb Williams. The biggest jump they always say with quarterbacks, it's like, oh, year two to year three, guys. It's year one to year two. Like, that's the jump. This is when you realize whether guys are cut out for it.
I thought it was year three, but yeah.
Geno Smith and like the late bloomers and stuff like that. But
everyone says year three, but just so you know.
I think, but there's data that it's more like year two.
Okay.
You got the coach there. We already said we thought that there was a good team around the Chicago Bears and around Caleb Williams, that they could have been a playoff team a year ago. Well, obviously, that didn't go well. But this is a team that still has a 10th pick overall. Maybe they can mess around with that, too. Maybe you do trade back. Maybe you get another offensive lineman. Whatever it's going to be. I can't say that I fully trust the Bears, but I think they are the team that's one draft away from maybe taking advantage of what's the Vikings situation with J.J. McCarthy and his knee. Is there any wiggle room there? What's going on with the Lions after they lost two coordinators? And what's going on in Green Bay? We saw Jordan Love get hurt in the first game of the season, and, you know, they made the playoffs, but it didn't look, I don't think, however everyone thought it was going to look for Jordan Love. So,
but how is this? I'm just curious. Like, how is this draft? I think I'm into the Bears too, because of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. But why this draft? I'm just curious. Like, what do you expect them to do?
I think that they're only a couple pieces away. So let's say you add a good offensive lineman who could start for you.
He may or may not. So I feel like this is the Jets taking all the fashion. You've been drafting offensive linemen up the wazoo for...
Keep doing it.
They're going to draft a tackle who's going to rotate in. I don't see that guy as being the game changer here.
So they have 10, 39, 41, and 72. So you got four picks in the top 75. That's good. That's you're looking at guys who can either be not right away starters, but, you know, work your way into being a starter by the time the season's, you know, into December.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. If they don't get Jeanty, then I don't want to hear about them. They just draft this whole draft's going to be, by the way, left tackles, right tackles, guards.
Great.
We're going to be
build your team.
Yeah, if they don't get Jeanty, I'm not sure I see this draft as a total game changer for them, at least not to the eyeball. Like, I think they're going to draft a guard or a tackle. We may or may not hear about him until for 3 years.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. The team that has the most to gain in this draft. EJ, you're with me with the Chicago Bears?
I think the Bears are absolutely the right pick. Three picks in the top 41 picks. You got two near the top of the second round, so that gives them flexibility. If they need to get a big star, like an Ashton Jeanty, and trade up, they can do that. If they want to continue to build out their roster, a roster I don't think is barren of talent. It just, I think, needs a little finessing, definitely needs help on the offensive line. You can do that with all these picks here near the top. So I feel like the Bears are in a position where they could really, really be a scary team in the NFC North. It's a tough division.
Yeah.
But this is, again, not a team that doesn't have talent. They have talent, wide receiver, talent on defense. They just got to figure out some of the other pieces. And
but you said,
come along.
EJ, last year, you did not want your Jets to take old-fashioned because you wouldn't make the field.
Yeah.
Right? There's no way a lineman is going to start. They paid up the wazoo to get, I keep saying that word. They paid a ton for a bunch of veteran offensive linemen. Like, they don't need a lineman. This is a luxury pick.
But I'll be real, though. I feel like, and I've said this on local radio as well, I feel like I may have been off on that because what teams need now, they need depth on the offensive line. Like,
yep.
You can't just say...
You won't
say,
make it through a season.
Yeah, you can't say I have five good guys and then that's it, because one guy goes down and you don't have a replacement, or you're shuffling guys around, all of a sudden your offensive line falls apart. Look at what happened to the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs were the best team in the NFL, and they couldn't function because they didn't have more than five good offensive linemen. So the Bears are in a position where they can get some depth. They can help out multiple positions. I think the Bears are in a really good spot. And I like Ben Johnson also being in the fold picking these players. I know he's a brand-new head coach, but considering what they built with the Lions and how well they drafted there, if he had anything to do with how they built that offense, I like him having these top three picks.
I'm not allowing any of this. Claim the Ben Johnson bandwagon. You guys can't jump on it because they have three picks that they'll probably make the wrong.
The Bears going to make the playoffs last year, and then they screwed me. I've been on the Bears bandwagon for a while.
Listen, I'm the Ben Johnson skeptic because you're such a believer. I was like, you literally were putting him in Canton.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, if they draft a guard who's like rotates in on another play, they can't say this draft. Ben Johnson will make this all work. By the way, also tight end, that'd be interesting. I have to. They definitely could be a tight end team.
Definitely.
Because this is the tight end draft. But that being said, I think Ben Johnson maximizes all these players. I think they have a good roster already. They just were poorly coached last year. Well, and I know you agree with that.
Oh, definitely. I thought they should have gotten rid of Eberflus before the season.
Yeah, like, you're very clear about that.
Well, we all knew what was happening, and that Thanksgiving game still is one of the great debacles of all time. But think about it. They lost a couple games at the very, very end. Like last second plays, the Hail Mary against the Commanders. So they were a 5-win team. Maybe they could have been a 7-win team, and now they're everybody's pick to be that, you know, super playoff team. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that, because they do have the NFC North issue.
Yeah, I'm curious about the NFC North. We'll get more into that in the offseason, but you know, I saw your Philadelphia Eagles be an awesome team, lose both coordinators, and they took a step back.
My God. I mean, the Lions are, if the Lions don't, I hear what you're saying. They definitely are not the contender they were last year, but you're telling me that the Bears are going to be able to beat that team?
I don't know. It's division. I'm just saying that, you know, the one thing that the Lions, I think, have going for them is if there's any coach that can rally a team from what is, that was such an embarrassing loss for them. I know that they were really hurt on defense, and a lot of guys were gone, and they got more hurt in that game. You're the number one seed in the NFC, a home field advantage, and a rookie came in and beat you in the playoffs. And they were all over the map in that game. It was just, it was rough. And I think Dan Campbell could get like the, they're going to have a major chip on their shoulder for a team that's like a giant.
I think you have the best right tackle in football, Penny Sewell. You have the best running back in football. I'm even going to say that as a Saquon. Jahmyr Gibbs, you have the best slot receiver in football, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. The talent, I think, is overwhelming because their GM is a super stud. So I hear what you're saying, and that does make sense. And I think the team we disagree on is the Packers, too, because I think the Packers they're always float around. They always win 10 games. And then the Vikings are really interesting. That could be the team falls. So, yeah, maybe you're talking me into the Bears being contender, but, man, it'd be better if they were in the NFC South.
Well, no kidding. But, you know, the Vikings are making me a little nervous.
Yeah.
So we can get to that in a little bit, because Diane Orsini is going to join us later in the show. Peter King's going to join us later in the show. I haven't given the lineup yet. Clay Matthews is going to join us coming up next. And it was Diana's reporting that three teams really in the mix for Kirk Cousins, and one of them is the Vikings. And I was like, wait, what? And then we had this very brief conversation yesterday. Is that to be a backup or a starter?
How could you not start? If you got Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, why would you not start a guy who you know is going to get 35 touchdowns and 4,700 yards?
You like that?
Why would you not do that?
Because you have J.J. McCarthy. I thought we're passing the torch here. I thought that's what this whole thing was about.
No.
Are you fond of that?
You're not going to bench Kirk. Kirk was born to play in that stadium. He actually has played in that stadium many, many times.
Yeah, including a pretty bad playoff loss to Manny's Giants.
Yeah, but that's what the Vikings do. They win a ton of games, have a ton of yards, and then lose in the playoffs.
Are you amenable to that?
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. At some point, we have to ask the audience, whose accent is worse? British accent. Kirk Cousins.
Can I inquire if you're keen on that?
That's Kirk Cousins? I don't know this drop. What's going on? That's Kirk?
They played in London. They
and he was on a commercial and he said...
Or Perloff doing Cam Smith.
Oh, wait.
I seem to have totally lost the Australian accent. I had it for a minute, and now I'm going between American and English.
A little Scottish in there.
He sounded South African.
Hello, Maggie. I can see that. Sometimes my accent gets confused, British accents. That actually sounds a little Indian. Now yeah. I'm all over the place.
Yeah, I will.
That's a tight one. Kirk Perloff.
That could have passed as a bad Indian impersonation. I have no idea. All right. Yeah.
This is a race.
Are you amenable to that? Oh, I get it. Do you like that? Okay. It took me a little while.
All right, English major.
I like him in Minnesota.
We'll get to that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Speaking of audio that I'm not sure, well, I'm sorry, we know that's bad from Kirk Cousins and Perloff, both doing accents.
Are you amenable to that?
There's some other audio that we've got to play for you. And when I kid you, is it good or bad? I have no idea. I need you guys to be the judge of it. We'll do that next. Also, the Super Bowl champion and Defensive Player of the Year, Packers Hall of Famer, Clay Matthews is going to join us coming up next from Green Bay. We get to all that in just moments. It's M&P. Pearl, you and I have been fascinated about the draft happening in Green Bay. So let's go right to the source and let's go to a man who probably can't walk down the street in Green Bay without being accosted. That's Clay Matthews, the six-time Pro Bowler, the All-Pro, the Super Bowl champion for your Green Bay Packers and Defensive Player of the Year. Joining up on behalf of Lowe's. Lowe's is remaking all of the green, remaking the draft green room. It's built by Lowe's. And Clay, you're there right now. We were fascinated by the green room. Can you explain the vibe, the feel, what Lowe's is going for right now?
Lowe's has done a remarkable job here in building this green room. Sofas, lounges, it has a very like kind of cigar vibe to it. And what they've told me too is that fans and consumers alike can purchase these products on Lowe's. I believe they're donating everything here to Habitat for Humanity. And I actually just saw this in my last interview. I just want to bring it up to you, but I see they have these phones right here. Okay. You know, obviously it's for the draft. And this one right here, I don't know if you can see, it's for Travis Hunter right here. So I'm assuming he'll be answering this tomorrow. You know, it depends on how early he is, but they've done a remarkable job, Lowe's. And then right when you exit the green room and head up on stage, it's remarkable. So in 2009, I didn't attend the draft in New York, but it is quite the sight to see. Hopefully everyone can, you know, who's not here in person can experience this, you know, through the broadcast, but it's special, especially to do it in Green Bay, not only for my history that I've had in Green Bay with the 10 years that I was out here, but what it represents to the NFL. Why the Super Bowl trophy is named the Lombardi Trophy. Guys like Reggie White, Brett Favre, Bart Starr, Ray Nitschke. I mean, you go down the list. I mean, the Packers are the NFL. So I know the draftees, it'll probably all go over their head. But as somebody who's come full circle with this, this is a great venue to be at. And hopefully it goes off without any problems tomorrow.
Clay, you don't want to fall out of the first round, but if you're going to, you want to do it in comfort, right? That's what the prospects are like. What was your draft night like? Did you have some of your well-known family around you?
Yes. So I thought I had the opportunity to go anywhere from the 10th overall to the 15th. And then I thought if I didn't make it, I thought that was a bit of a stretch. And I thought realistically I was going to go 20 through 25. I didn't go through 20 to 25. Hey, good luck. I'm going to sleep early. You know, I'm turning the TV off. But I was at home at my parents' house. I had all my brothers, sister, siblings, their families, a few friends, just kind of to break up the tense room it was. But, you know, it was just being surrounded by the guys who supported me back when I was a walk-on, back when no one gave me a shot. So for me, I was just in my comfort zone. That's why I didn't attend the draft. But maybe I kind of wish I did after seeing what they do here. But it was a great time. And just a little bit of background to it. I went with the 26th pick and New England was on the clock. I thought I was going to New England because my father had played for Bill Belichick and the Cleveland Browns. They were getting old at pass rusher. So I figured it was a, you know, it was a fit. And Green Bay had already drafted BJ Raji that year, but they traded back into the first round, drafted me. Oh, great. We're going to Green Bay. Well, I had to go on Google, search where Green Bay was. It was in Wisconsin. Okay. I didn't know where Wisconsin was. So I had to search where Wisconsin was. But you know what? I couldn't have asked for a better place, a better team, organization to have fallen to.
Yeah, well, just think if, you know, Wisconsin and USC had been in the Big Ten together like they are now, you would have known. But that happened much, much later. Clay Matthews is joining us now on behalf of Lowe's. Lowe's has built the Green Room in Green Bay. And of course, Clay just got inducted to the Packers Hall of Fame, which is really, really cool. You know, you mentioned that the Packers traded back into the first round to get you. The Packers have kind of become known, Clay, for draft surprises. You know, Aaron Rodgers, once upon a time, who spent some time in the green room infamously before he was selected, then Jordan Love, which was also a bit of a surprise. Do you think we're going to get a surprise from Green Bay this year, or do you think they're going to play it safe? And if so, where do you think they look?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think when they do surprise us, we never know. I mean, did anyone think they were going to draft Jordan Love when Aaron Rodgers was just coming off an NFC championship game or, you know, whatever it was? So don't be surprised. But at the same token, I kind of look at their team right now, their roster, quarterback set, receivers, if they can stay healthy, running back, obviously, with Jacobs has done well. So maybe on the defensive side of the ball, getting some type of playmaker. Naturally, that's coming from a defensive mind like myself. So I could see something like that, but I don't know. I want to say they're low 20s, maybe mid 20s. So I think they're still great talent, best player off the board. But I don't know. I mean, they were so close last year. They just had to get over, you know, if they didn't have to play Detroit and Minnesota twice ever, you know, last year. But, you know, we'll see what that means moving forward. Hopefully, you know, they continue to take the next step to become elite.
Clay, I looked up your measurables coming into your draft. 6'3", about 240. Abdul Carter, 6'3", 250, the Penn State defensive end. A lot of people think he's going to go number three. There's a little bit of a critique out there that he may not be big enough. I'm sure you face the same thing. When you see a pass rusher like Abdul Carter, does he have the size to merit go number three overall?
That's probably the number four team that's throwing shade on him. So that way he'll fall to number four right there. But yeah, you know what? It's such an interesting time coming out because there's so much critiquing. You know, obviously everybody wants, you know, he's an outstanding player. You know, he can get to the quarterback, but there's just so much critiquing on, oh, does he have this? Does he lack that? What are his immeasurables? But for me, you know, obviously that stuff helps, but at the end of the day, just put on the tape. You know, what did he do in college and what is he projected to do in the NFL? I think for me, fortunately, Ted Thompson was the GM of the Packers at the time. When he put on my tape, you could look at, you know, the measurables, which I thought I still did well, but also, you know, the game film in the limited amount that I had, I popped out. And so he saw something. So I think if you see, you know, that playmaking ability, especially at the number three spot and as a pass rusher, can he beat tackles? Is he big enough to, you know, walk him back? Does he have the athleticism to, you know, have some wiggle? You know, you just put it on. And I think if you pass the eye test and you got film to back it up, then all you can do is draft based on what you've seen. And, you know, I'm not sure what the hit rate is in the top 10, but you're going to have your bust and you're going to have your Hall of Famers. You just hope you make the most informed decision. And I think based on how well he played last year and what he possesses, that he absolutely should be the, what seems to be the number three overall pick.
Clay Matthews is joining us, of course, the Super Bowl champion, the All-Pro. He's in the Packers Hall of Fame now, which is cool. He's in literally in the green room now, the one we're going to see tonight at the draft. It's built by Lowe's. You can go to Lowe's.com to find more information and to purchase anything that's on the set. You know, Clay, when you were being drafted, I'm assuming your family history had to be a big positive in your camp. You know, your dad, your uncle, who's a Hall of Famer. Your dad was a multi-time Pro Bowler. For Shedeur Sanders, I don't know if it's a help or not, because Deion obviously has such a high profile. He's also obviously a Hall of Famer. You know, you have a little experience this with having to be following in the footsteps of a very famous family members. What would you say to Shedeur about blazing his own path and about some of the critique about him? Seems like it's a negative because his dad was such a great player and big personality.
Yeah, well, I think it helps Shedeur in the sense that the fire that he's been through, the criticism that he received in playing and all, you know, just coming up and being Coach Prime's son, you know, being Deion's son. So I think that will help him overcome some adversity that others might wilt under. Now, that being said, because of who he is and his moxie, 31 other fan bases will probably turn against him. It's easy to hate, you know, it's no different than when Patrick Mahomes is coming to town, you know, he's the best and you just want to see him fail. So I think that plays in his favor, Shador's favor. Now, you never know how quarterbacks are going to, you know, take it to the next level. So I kind of take it on a wait and see approach, but based on what he's been able to do, I'm blanking on the school he was at before, you know, transferring to Colorado, but coming to Colorado and as a former Pac-10 and Pac-12, and now that's gone through, but Colorado joining them and being bottom of the barrel, they were must-watch TV. Last year, I watched probably more Colorado football than any other team because they were must-watch, and they had obviously Travis Hunter and Shador and Coach Prime, and they were just must-watch TV, not only because of kind of what they brought to the cinematic element, you know, putting on screen as a showman, but also how they were able to turn that program around. So I think it plays into his favor. I think the fans are going to want to see him fail. But we'll see. I hope he has nothing but success. I hope all these guys do now that my heart has softened and I've come full circle.
Okay, I actually want to go to another critique, and I don't mean to be overly critical. There's one critique I saw of Shador that was interesting, that he takes too many sacks in college, and that might not translate to the NFL. You obviously had a lot of sacks. Is that on the quarterback, on the line, on the coaches? Do you go up against a quarterback and say, this is, you know, is it the quarterback's fault or the fact that you just beat the tackle?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely times where a quarterback can hang onto the ball too long and they should get rid of it. And there's other times where, you know, the quarterback is back there and just gets a little antsy if he, you know. So I think it's a double-edged sword. But I think the number one thing, especially for rookie quarterbacks, is to not turn the ball over. So whether you throw the ball away, whether you take sacks, just don't turn the ball over. We used to put up these statistics in our defensive meeting rooms about, you know, one turnover, two turnovers, three turnovers. If you turn the ball over however many times, the percentage of winning goes up exponentially. So just don't turn the ball over as a rookie quarterback. Throw for 200 yards, get yourself a touchdown or two, no turnovers, and let your running game and defense win, and then continue to get better, you know, each and every week and each and every year. But that's just – that's Coach Clay sitting from the green room right now talking about what I would do.
We'll make sure to phone it in to Coach LaFleur. Clay Matthews with us for just a few more minutes on behalf of Lowe's. They built the green room. This is the literal green room that Clay's sitting in right now. You can see it behind him, that all the draftees is sitting in Travis Hunter's spot. So yes, we think that it's probably going to be vacated pretty quickly because he's supposed to go to.
Is it Cleveland or is it Tennessee? I don't know.
Clay, when's the last time you talked to Aaron Rodgers?
Surprisingly, about 2 nights ago. We were texting about something else, not football related. I'm interested to see, I know where this question is going. I'm interested to see what he does next year as well. You know, I thought when he took his trip to Pittsburgh, that seemed like a natural fit with Mike Tomlin, a playoff caliber team, an amazing defense. And now, having two legit, you know, wide receivers over there, it seems like a great fit. But, you know, I did listen to his Pat McAfee interview. It sounded like he had to work some stuff out. So I think we should all, you know, kind of take a step back, let that resolve itself. And, but I don't know. I think I'm as much in the dark as you guys are on this. But I'll tell you what, after watching the Jets last year, well, I would say specifically looking at Aaron last year, looking at the stats he put together, I think it was pretty remarkable what he was able to do at his age. And I think he's still got it in him if he wants to.
Wait, Clay, if you gave us 100 guesses, would we guess what you were texting with Aaron Rodgers? Yeah. Because that could be anything. It could be anything from ayahuasca to the pyramids, yeah, to anything.
It could be anything. Now, I don't know if I'd be his go-to as far as, you know, about those things. It was more practicality and stuff, but I still bet you wouldn't guess it though. So, you know, we've got a great relationship.
Clay, last one for you, just a little one. And again, thank you for your time. For the USC fan that's out there, that's really kind of wondering, like, where's this thing going with Lincoln Riley and sort of what's the frustration level? Take the temperature of the USC fan for us right now.
Yeah. You know, I think coming off Caleb Williams, and it's going to be hard to replicate that Heisman success that he had naturally. And I think there was a lot of games that kind of slipped, Michigan, Minnesota, right off the top of my head. But from what I've heard, the GM, I'm blanking on his name, but I believe he came over from Notre Dame. It sounds like he's the real deal, and perhaps it's the piece they needed to kind of take USC to the next level, and hopefully that's back to, you know, playing in these playoffs and, you know, getting back to greatness again. So hopefully that's the case. I'm excited about them. You know, I love my Trojans. I support them, so hopefully it's on up and up.
Chad Bowden is his name, and bad job by him that he hasn't called you to hit you up for money yet. Because
these pockets are tight right here, okay?
Clay Matthews literally in the green room right now. It's being built by Lowe's. You can go to Lowe's.com to get more information. And Clay, it's our pleasure. So thanks so much for taking some time with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, let's quickly, best guesses. What were Clay Matthews and Aaron Rodgers texting about?
So maybe it's because of the Lowe's part of this, but I think it was home improvement. I think Clay was redoing his kitchen and was asking about a certain kind of marble for the counter.
I think it was some kind of vacation destination retreat, something. So I don't know if Clay's doing ayahuasca, but something like, oh, you went to Costa Rica. What was this like?
No, Clay, see, that's the thing. I think Clay does not do that new agey crap that Aaron Rodgers does. I think Clay's old school. He's, you know, he's a Matthews. I don't see, you think
he goes on vacation.
But he doesn't do, no. But Aaron Rodgers doesn't go on vacation. He goes on some sort of experience.
Oh, yeah, journey.
There's no plant-based medicine when Clay Matthews is going to Cancun.
Clay Matthews grew up in Southern California, played at USC. Aaron Rodgers living in Malibu. It was something to do with some Southern California business.
Okay.
Or maybe some real estate.
Oh, like something they own together.
String of car washes, something like that.
Yeah.
I can see it.
I want to let you know the people of Pittsburgh will respect the fact you're driving around in a boo, brother.
Andrew Bogish has headlines for us. What's up, Bogish?
Guys, good to see you again. Hours before that draft, the NFL is mourning the loss of Hall of Fame D-tackle Steve McMichael, one of the stars of the Bears' Super Bowl-winning defense. McMichael diagnosed with ALS back in 2021. His career included two first-team All-Pro selections, and at one point he played 191 consecutive games for those Bears. There was also this when McMichael sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game at Wrigley Field back in 2001.
Broncos home, Chicago! And don't worry, I'll have some speaks with that home plate umpire after the game.
You'll be shocked to hear that Angel Hernandez was the home plate umpire that day.
Way to bring it full circle.
And Angel was actually like a death stare back at McMichael from the field during all this, playing the fake tough guy that he was.
Oh, yeah, no one stepped into McMichael.
No
joke.
By the way, our buddy Jared Payton, very, very close to Steve McMichael, for, you know, Walter's son. Condolences to him. I know he was there recently.
I think he said his tweet said he was with him yesterday.
No, he was. Yeah.
It's nice they did that really nice thing for him at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Well, he wasn't able to go, but his wife was there, and that was really touching.
Former Seahawks wideout Tyler Lockett announced last night he is signing with the Titans, and the Lions reportedly making Kirby Joseph the highest paid safety in the league with a 4-year extension with an annual average value of $21.5 million.
Perfect.
Jason Tatum missed a playoff game for the first time last night thanks to that bruised right wrist, but his Celtics just fine without him.
Ball moved to Holiday. Holiday drives down the middle of the floor, hangs in the air, throws it through two men out to the corner for Jaylen Brown. Good night, three.
Hello, Irene. Hello, Irene. Good night, Irene.
Said Maxwell, Sean Grandy, Celtics Radio. Jaylen Brown with 36. 20 points and 10 boards from Kristaps Porzingis in a 109-100 decision for a 2-0 lead on the Magic. The Cavs are up 2-0 on the Heat after a 121-112 home win. Donovan Mitchell scored 17 of his 30 in the fourth after Miami cut a 19-point lead down to 2. And the Rockets salvaged a split at home, 109-94 over the Warriors, behind 38 from Jalen Green. Golden State also losing Jimmy Butler to a bruised pelvis from a fall late first quarter. He did not return, getting an MRI today back at home. Not sure what it means in late April, but the Chicago Cubs have won their season series with the vaunted Dodgers.
Good speed on the base pass. Swanson at second, Horner at first.
Season?
The pitch. Swinging a fly ball, left center, pretty well hit, back toward the warning track. That ball is going to be gone for a 3-run homer. Pete Crow Armstrong goes to the opposite field, and the Cubs lead 3-2.
That's Pat Hughes, Cubs radio. Pete Crow Armstrong also had an RBI single and a 7-6 win at Wrigley. The Cubs take that season series 4-3. Before losing the game, the Dodgers canceled a bullpen session for lefty starter Blake Snell. He felt discomfort in his shoulder after playing catch on Tuesday. Snell has been on the IL for 3 weeks now. He'll be reevaluated once they are back in L.A. The Giants down the Brewers last night 4-2. The Rays got a 7-6 win in 11 in Arizona. And the Astros got a 3-game sweep of the Blue Jays 3-1. And finally, federal judge Claudia Wilkin told lawyers for the NCAA and college athletes yesterday to adjust their plans for roster limits or she will not approve their multi-billion dollar settlement, the one that leads to revenue sharing with players. Wilkin does not want those roster limits to take effect immediately, leading to too many athletes losing their spots. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thanks so much. I teased it before. We'll get to it next, I promise, which is someone's family member may have inserted themselves into this draft and tipped the hand of the team making the selection. I love when these stories happen. We'll get to that next. Top of the hour, Diana Rossini is going to join us. Also in the next hour, Nick Kostos from You Better You Bet will get you set for all the draft props that you need. Don't move.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's Maggie and Perloff. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Excited to talk to Diana Rossini from The Athletic at the top of the hour. She emptied the notebook, and there's still more information coming in before the draft kicks off tonight in Green Bay, Perloff. But the draft is always weird. There's always a funky story that happens, and I think this definitely this applies. EJ, you sent this to us late last night. I had not seen it. Warren Sharp, Sharp Football, had it. And he's like an analytics guy. This is far from an analytics story, though. Apparently, according to Warren Sharp, Giants GM Joe Shane's son posted a Jackson Dart highlight reel on his Instagram on the eve of the draft.
Oh, and so that's why I didn't get this text message.
And then set his account to private immediately. Manny, you're a young person. I'm assuming his son is like 13. We saw him on Hard Knocks.
He's the
last
one who wanted Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, well, he never described how to get him. So he's not exactly, you know, Mr. Wheeler Dealer. Because if he had actually found a way to get Jaden Daniels from the Commanders, then maybe I would have given him some credit.
Well, he knew about Jaden Daniels, and Joe Shane clearly did not. That was very evident in Hard Knocks.
Well, maybe Joe Shane knew there was no shot that Jaden Daniels was falling past, too.
Yeah, right, because everything Joe Shane did in that show painted a football genius. Yeah. Get out of here. He's like, Jaden Daniels, the LSU quarterback? He had no idea. You know son knows more football.
You know what Joe Shane's kid was saying after watching some Jaden Daniels tape?
good drop.
I know he was really under the radar when he won the Heisman. Anyway.
Oh my God! Let's go back and watch that episode together. Watch Joe Shane's reaction when his son says Jaden Daniels.
Really, 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 rather not do that.
Shane wanted? I think he wanted Drake May and McCarthy.
They could have had McCarthy.
Yeah,
decided to go with Malik Nabers.
By the way, this is setting up to be such a disaster for the Giants based on this little incident and so much else.
So the little incident again is Joe Shane's son posted a Jackson Dart highlight reel on his Instagram and then immediately made his account private. Yeah. Well, young people, what's the difference when you get caught doing something from deleting your account, making it private, and then just taking this down? Why didn't he just take the post down? Why make
What's
it private?
The they caught it anyway.
Well, I guess the problem is that this will be a persistent thing. People will still, even if he takes it down, people will be commenting. So, Jackson Dart, huh? Like, you know.
But he didn't delete his account.
What would be the difference?
You got to keep the account.
He's still trying to, you know, hit up girls and whatnot. Exactly. That's how you use Instagram.
How old is this kid? I think he's pretty young.
He's
still getting crushes.
These are the kids. Okay. You got to see Livy Dunn somewhere.
Exactly. Thank you, EJ.
Yeah, she's nowhere else except for Instagram. Oh, you might be right about
him, probably.
Yeah, you're right.
All the reasons the Giants are taking Jackson Dart, by the way, are all the wrong reasons. Like, what is going
on? Break it down.
Well, just that Eli went to Ole Miss and Jackson Dart went to Ole Miss.
That's enough for me. Let's get him.
That Charlie Weiss Jr. is best friends with Brian Daboll, and Charlie Weiss was his coordinator at Ole Miss. It feels like there's relationships and connections between these. Like, I just worry the Giants, who have, let's face it, took Daniel Jones for all the wrong reasons, they're taking Daniel Jones 2.0. It just feels that way to me.
You know, I had not thought of it that way. But you're right. It is a little eerily similar to Daniel Jones. Remember who they loved because I think, honestly, because he looked and acts like Eli Manning, number one. David Cutcliffe was the big thing. I had not even thought of that. He was like the Duke college coach who was Eli and Peyton's coach.
There are five other connections between Dable, Shane, and Jackson Dart's camp. It's all, the Giants seem like a relationship team, and that is not an analytic team.
But they're not taking him three.
Right. They, you know, for example, in mock drafts, a lot of people have him trading back.
Although you and I disagree on one thing about not just the Giants here, but globally. I think when you take a quarterback specifically in either the first round, obviously, or the second round, I think there's an expectation that this person is in the mix to at some point be your starter, depending on who is the incumbent. You and I disagree on that. I think you believe that second round quarterbacks is pure flyer.
Yep.
No expectation whatsoever. I think second round, if it's Jackson Dart at 33, 34, like Will Levis was top of the second round. We expected him to start at some point. I think we did think Jalen Hurts immediately was a threat to Carson Wentz. Like, I think second round quarterbacks, as rare as it is for guys to go in the second round, immediately become thought of as you're grooming them to be the starter. But
that's why it's rare. They absolutely do not take quarterbacks in the second round. It's a huge exception to take a quarterback in the second round.
Maybe not this year.
They take him, but history shows that they wait till the third round because they don't want that pressure to start the guy. And there was I love this, you know, there's only been one first pick of the second round ever in the common draft era. It was Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. It just, everyone's mocking 33, the Browns, or 34, the Giants. That is not how NFL teams do business because of exactly what you said, because second round, there's too much pressure to start. Not only that, you can get a quality starter at another position, so you don't want a backup. So it's very likely there's a chance, say Jalen Milroe and Tyler Shuck don't go in the first round, which probably will happen. They could easily fall to the third for this very reason. Teams, I think there's been, six second-round quarterbacks to 35 or something in the third, so teams don't want this pressure. I think they avoid them like crazy. I think the Giants trade back and they do not take a second round quarterback.
Do you think that Joe Shane's son tipped the hand, and do you think he was doing it like on purpose? Do you think he did it by accident? Was he trying to get clicks, show off to kids at school that he knows who the Giants like at quarterback? If so, does Joe Shane get some blowback for that? I mean, if I'm John Mayer and Brian Daboll, I'm like, dude, what the hell?
Why? Who cares?
Because there could be other teams who want Jackson Dart who end up jumping you or whatever.
Not happening. I don't think anyone else is going to trade up for Jackson Dart. Peter Schrager had...
We heard that the Browns like him, I thought.
Yeah, in the second round. Do you think they could trade up?
Well, we had a report yesterday that both the Browns and the Giants are looking to trade back into the first round. And it could be a matter of those two guys going head-to-head. Listen, the draft sometimes can be one on the margins.
I'm assuming that the Browns, if they trade back, would be for Jalen Milroe because their offensive coach... their coordinator, Coach Jalen Milroe.
That's a theory. You don't know that.
Well, I'm just saying I'm doing the same thing with the Giants. The connections are the Browns and Jalen Milroe seem to be connected, where the Giants, more than any other team, are so connected to Jackson Dart. So I feel like the Giants would try and jump ahead of the Browns if they did want Jackson Dart. Peter Schrager of ESPN now has them going to 26 to get Jackson Dart. But a lot of mocks have them going into the teens to get Jackson Dart. Mm. So there's a question, too. The Giants, are they going to have to sell the farm?
Well, this is why you don't tip your hand, right? If you love the guy, this is the worst possible thing you can do in the draft. Do you think this was on purpose?
You're right, but I think you're making a bit of a mountain out of a molehill because the kid put out an IG video.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
If he really gave away and showed the hand of the Giants... I'm going to be honest. It's unforgivable from Joe Shane.
Oh, come on.
You have to keep that a secret from your family, especially if you have a teenage kid or however old he is. If this is real and this is true, The freaking GM of the Giants, man. You're already on the hot seat. You can't tell your son so that he can look cool at school.
It feels a little heavy to me.
I don't think it's heavy. I don't think you're being heavy enough.
The Giants' problems are that they're going to win four games next year. Who cares about Joe Shane's son?
Well, then Joe Shane's going to be out of a job.
Definitely.
All right, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Diana Rossini next.